Pastor Ray Bentley takes us to a fascinating moment found in Mark chapter 12.
And at this moment, Jesus asks the most important question of all time. And basically what he's asking is, who is the Messiah? Now, here's what's interesting. Up until now, it is the religious leaders who have been asking most of the questions. And now it's Jesus' turn.
Spread the news. All of his people coming down before the King. Lift your voice. Jesus is coming. Join the song. Sing along. Let it ring.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. What we think about Jesus reveals a lot about ourselves and, more importantly, what our future will be like. Those who have given their lives to Jesus live a more abundant life here and now and have hope in the hereafter. But today, Pastor Ray takes us to a pivotal moment where the Jews were asked about the Messiah.
Okay, Mark chapter 12, we're going to go through verses 35 through 44. Jesus the teacher, the title of the message. So we're finishing chapter 12. So beginning in verse 35, it says, "Then Jesus answered and said, while he taught in the temple, 'How is it that the scribes say that the Messiah is the son of David? For David himself said by the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' And therefore, David himself calls him Lord. How is he then his son?" And the common people heard him gladly. Jesus is teaching. There are some religious leaders who are there, some Pharisees and some scribes, but then there's the people, and they loved listening to Jesus. They'd never thought of it quite in this way. And at this moment, Jesus asks the most important question of all time. And basically what he's asking is, who is the Messiah? He is really pointing to himself and to his own life, his own claims, the fulfillment of the prophecies that are now focused in Jesus of Nazareth, Yeshua from Nazareth, who is walking and living and fulfilling the prophetic claims of the Messiah. So he's saying, so who is the Messiah? And now there would have been some tension because some religious leaders that are kind of against Jesus, but they don't want to say anything. The common people who think he is, but he's just asked a question in the scriptures. Maybe they don't have the confidence to be able to ask. Now, here's what's interesting. Up until now, it is the religious leaders who have been asking most of the questions. And now it's Jesus' turn. And he asks the most important question of all. Who is the Messiah? And what do you think about the Messiah? Who is he? Now, thinking about the Jewish people, there are many modern Jewish people, whatever their religious upbringing and background is, in modern times that may not even know that in ancient times past, there was a Jewish teaching on the Messiah as the Son of God. And the teaching on the subject of a Son of God is found numerous times in the Old Covenant, as well as in Talmudic commentaries. I want to read some of these scriptures, you know, because some people will say, well, no, that's a Christian creation, believing that the Messiah is the Son of God or something like that. No, actually, it's not. We're just going to read three scriptures. I could give you more. These are three scriptures that talk about the Son of God that are in the Old Covenant, not even in the New. So let's read Psalm 2. Verse 12 out loud. "Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him." Now that's pretty amazing. I mean, the whole point of the Old Covenant was trust in whom? God. And now you have a scripture saying, hey, there's a Son and you better kiss him. You don't want to get him angry. And not only that, oh, how happy, that's what blessed means. Oh, how happy are all those who put their trust in the Son. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Okay, Now, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. This is a more familiar scripture, but we're going to just read this one verse. Let's read it out loud. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Brothers and sisters, look at that. You're talking about a child, and that child is called the Son. And not only are there governments on his shoulder, and not only is he called Wonderful Counselor, he, the Son, is called Mighty God. This is not a Christian tract trying to witness to Jewish people. This is the ancient Hebrew prophet Isaiah, who prophesied 2,600 years ago. And he's saying the Son, the child who becomes the Son, when all the governments rest on his shoulder, and this is, the rabbis would have said, this is a messianic passage, he's called the Mighty God. And then he is called the Everlasting Father. This is a Jewish prophet saying the child, the Son, shall be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. So 2,000 years ago, Jesus is talking about, and he reads a quote that brings up the idea of a son related to David. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But let's read, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4. Did you know that Proverbs talks about the Son of God? Let's read it out loud. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fists? Who has bound the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if you know? I mean, hello? Who created the wind? God. Who bound the waters in a garment? God. Who established the ends of the earth? God. What is his name? Yahweh. And what is his son's name, if you know? Prophetically, well, yeah, you're saying, yeah, what is it? Jesus or Yeshua. Now, there are other scriptures that mention the concept of God having a son and often equating him with the coming Mashiach or the Messiah. Now, in saying this, let me say that the Jews never thought in terms of Greek mythology where there is a God, small g, that could give birth physically to a son. That's not what it's talking about. When God is talking about his son, it is a Hebrew expression. Another word of saying would be an idiom. It's a manner of speaking and describing. And so the Bible is not saying that God gave birth. And this is what the Muslims say. They say, oh, you know, Christians worship three gods, and somehow God had relations with some woman and to be able to have a son. No, not in that way. God is a spirit and cannot physically father a son. God does not literally have wings, he doesn't have hands, he doesn't have eyes, but God sees and God hears and God flies. So how are we to understand this? God is using something that we would know on the most personal and intimate level. And Jesus quotes Psalm 110, verse 1. It's there in your notes. Let's read this out loud. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. So how could, David's writing this, how could David's Lord, so it's talking about David and David's Lord, how could David's Lord also be David's son? That is the question. And the answer is given in this. David's son came through the miraculous birth. A child was born, a son was given. It's called the incarnation, Isaiah 7:14. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary and gave birth to the Son, the very Son of God. And so now, because it was long known that David's descendant would be the Messiah, but now what Jesus is pointing out from the scripture in the Psalms is that that one who would be born later down the line would also be David's Lord. He is the Messiah, he is the Son of God, he is God manifest in the flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness that God was manifest in the flesh. Amen? And that's who Jesus Christ is. So this is the answer. So Jesus, by asking this, he's saying, who do you think that I am? I am the Son of God. He was claiming that he is the Son of David. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is God manifest in the flesh. And the Pharisees and the scribes, they didn't know what to do with this because he had all the miracles, he had all the proof and all the authority that went along with his claims. But I love what it says in the last part of verse 37, and the common people heard him gladly. So, question, did the Jews reject Jesus? Answer, because this is where people really, really get in trouble. Yes, of course, the Jews rejected Jesus. Wrong. The correct answer is some Jews rejected Jesus, and some received him as the Messiah. Some believed in him as the Son of David, who was also David's Lord, and they witnessed his resurrection from the dead. And if you say, well, how do you know that some Jews believed in Jesus? Because basically the entire New Testament is written by Jews who believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And for the last 2,000 years, there have been Jews, some Jews, who believe that Jesus was and is the Messiah, the Son of God, according to the scriptures, and there are even to this day.
Pastor Ray Bentley will have more of today's study in just a moment. We really enjoy hearing from our listeners. It's a blessing to hear how these broadcasts often reach people at just the right time.
I'm at a place in my life where I need to be grounded. I need help and I need comfort. I've been looking to other people and things to fill all my needs. I never realized all I needed to do was look up and ask God to help. When I heard Pastor Ray, it felt like he was speaking directly to me, and every word he said was dealing with my life. After hearing the message, I asked God into my heart. I asked him to take control of my life and lead me. Thank you, Pastor Ray.
How have these studies impacted your life or your family? Drop Pastor Ray an email at ray@raybentley.com. Again, ray@raybentley.com. And now more of today's message from Pastor Ray Bentley.
So let's look at verses 38 through 40. It says, then he said to them in his teaching, and probably from the reaction of some of the religious leaders there, beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes and love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues and the best places at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation. In Matthew chapter 23, it's a similar passage, and I put that in your notes. Let's read this out loud together. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. Therefore, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do, but do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. Okay, listen very carefully to what Jesus said. Because many people, you know, they look at the scribes and Pharisees and go, oh, you know, all you think of is they're hypocrites and they're wrong. But listen very carefully to what Jesus said in Matthew 23. He says the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. That was a seat of authority. They had Moses' authority to deliver and teach the word of God. Therefore, Jesus said, whatever they tell you to observe, that observe and do. What Jesus was saying was what the scribes and Pharisees are saying as they teach you the word of God and the will of God and the heart of God and the law of God is right, and therefore do it. His problem was not with what they were teaching. His problem was that their lives did not match up with their words. In other words, we have a modern phrase, you need to practice what you preach. That was the only problem, not what they were actually teaching and not what they were actually saying. So Jesus is warning against pride among some of the religious leaders. And again, I will probably repeat this over and over again, not all, because there were some, even among the Pharisees, who had the right heart, the right motives, the right attitude, and who actually became believers and followers. In fact, even in the book of Acts, it says, and many of those who were the religious and the priests began to believe after especially the resurrection. But some even before did, Nicodemus, who came to Jesus at night. So now, because some people think, oh, they're robes. Jesus is condemning them wearing robes. Note, Jesus was not condemning the wearing of robes. What he was condemning was, look, there's all these priests and they have these robes, right? It's kind of like your religious garb by which you know this person was religious. Jesus had no problem with that. What he had a problem was that if you had a robe and you made it, another 3 feet longer than everybody else's, it just kind of dragged along, like, you know, you're a little more holy. Now, he said there's nothing wrong with wearing a phylactery. You know what a phylactery is? A little box that they would tie around their heads, because in the law, God said, take the word of God and bind it on your minds. Now, God probably meant and had the intention of having it in your mind, because he ultimately wanted in our minds and our hearts. But literally, to help them remember to do it, they literally tied a little box to their head. Have you seen Orthodox Jews that have a little box? And it has a little piece of the, usually the Shema of Israel, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. They have a little piece of the word of God right on their forehead. So wherever they go, they're reminded to be thinking of the word of God. Jesus, he never condemned anyone for wearing that phylactery or that box. Here's what he did say. He goes, there are some of them that make a big, broad phylactery. So, you know, I'm exaggerating, but, you know, everybody's wearing this one, but you go, well, I'm holier than they are. And so you're wearing a really big one. You're kind of just balancing it as you walk down the road. Now, I'm being funny and facetious, but the point is there were literally people that made theirs bigger than everybody else's. And the point was, it was a one-upmanship. I'm a little holier than you, and my robe's a little longer than yours. And that's the very attitude and spirit that Jesus was trying to avoid. He said, that's not being spiritual. There's nothing wrong with wanting to pray more. But the moment that you let everybody see how prayerful you are with these long robes, now you've become an accidental Pharisee. So that's the thing that we have to be careful of. That's what we have to be watching out for. Do not lift up self, but lift up Christ. As far as names and titles and position, calling someone a rabbi was not wrong or bad, nor is it wrong to call someone pastor or someone priest. Those are names that are given respect as they were in the seat of Moses. They're declaring the word of God. That's fine. What Jesus said the problem is when a rabbi or a pastor or a priest loves to hear people call him that. If a person is only important because of the uniform they wear, no matter how spiritual it may be, or the title they bear, or the office they hold, the point Jesus is making is that their importance is a self-importance and it's artificial. And what Jesus is really trying to say is that character is what is most important to God. Not a title, not a position, not a holy uniform, whatever that may be, but it is your heart before God. And God sees what is done in secret, which leads us to our last little section. We're going to close with verses 41 through 44. This is a great story. Verse 41, now Jesus sat opposite the treasury, and he saw how the people put money into the treasury. This is kind of the public national offering baskets of Israel. And many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which make a quadrans. So he called his disciples to himself. Hey guys, come here. He said to them, assuredly, I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given in the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Well, I call this section, a little can go a long way with Jesus. In this particular part of the temple, near the court of the women, there were 13 boxes. So they're shaped like a trumpet. And they were near the court of the women. And there were 13 because they were for different funds. And when you dropped in, which they had coins, the coins made a lot of sound. And kind of the trumpet-shaped boxes were made to kind of echo that sound and to make a big deal out of giving. And some people made a big splash out of it. Jesus is watching all the people, and they're coming up and giving. And it's a very public place. And then all of a sudden, the one lady that nobody probably even noticed at all, a little widow, older, she comes up. And she has what they call, what we now call widow's mites. I mean, it was not even as much as a penny. She has two little tiny, and she goes, dink, dink. And Jesus, who has been quiet, watching and observing all day, he goes, okay, guys, come here. Lesson time. Did you see that old lady that came by and went, dink, dink, with that little? They go, yeah. He goes, she just gave the most. All of heaven was watching. My Father in heaven saw it. Because all these other rich people, they gave out of their abundance. They gave, it didn't really hurt them, didn't affect them. They won't even miss it. They won't even know it's gone. She just gave the last two widow's mites. That's all she had. She gave everything. So what is the Lord saying here? What he is saying is, it's not the portion you give, but the proportion. She gave everything. The life of a true disciple is hidden. Give in a way that does not draw attention. Only Jesus noticed this woman. I don't think any of the disciples, let alone anybody that was there that day, noticed her at all. Give, Jesus said, in secret. Don't tell others about it. True spirituality is measured not by the impact you have here among those that can see, but when you hide it so that only God sees it and God knows about it. Now that is character that touches the heart of God, and that's what impresses the cherubim and the seraphim. They didn't let anybody know. And I want to give a word of encouragement to some of you here. The Lord sees what you have done, and you've never gotten any recognition, and nobody's ever patted you on the back or said thank you. You did some act of kindness. You gave a word of encouragement. You gave a gift. You said a prayer. You offered support. You helped someone, but nobody else knows. No one else will see. I want you to know that God sees, God knows. And the ones that are done like that in a hidden way. Jesus, think of him. I mean, after his miraculous birth, his first 30 years, his divine origins were hidden for 30 years. He was just a carpenter in Nazareth. Then when he started his miraculous ministry, which you couldn't hide, he hid his messiahship. Don't tell anybody. For 3 years. Finally, he's crucified. And everybody runs away. His deity is hidden again. Now in the resurrection, you couldn't hide that. But even after he rose from the dead, he ascended and went up into heaven and is hidden up in heaven again. So the life of true depth and power and spirituality is learning to live a hidden life here. But what is hidden here shall be shouted from the rooftops in heaven. When the Lord says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the reward prepared for you before the foundations of the earth were laid. So many of the religious were using widows and abusing widows. How wonderful that Jesus honors a widow on the end of this day as to teach us what a true disciple is all about. Amen.
Good insight on discipleship today, as Pastor Ray Bentley has led our study of Mark chapter 12 here on Maranatha Radio. Today's study is titled, Jesus the Teacher. If you missed any part, you can hear a replay on iTunes or at raybentley.com. That's raybentley.com. We hope you'll stop by our site today. When you get there, under Media, you'll notice three words, Watch, Radio, and Devo. Three ways to enjoy Pastor Ray's insights. Plus, click About and find out more about Pastor Ray and find out how you can come into a deeper relationship with the Lord. And at the bottom of the page, you can sign up to receive Pastor Ray's daily devotions via email, free of charge. Plus, you'll find other spiritual growth books and resources from Pastor Ray, including his latest book called The Threshing Floor, a prophetic fiction novel. So many are enjoying the full series called The Elijah Chronicles. And raybentley.com is always where you'll find the best deals on Pastor Ray's resources. You can also make a donation right there on the site. Your investments help bring the whole gospel to the whole world. Our mailing address is Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.
Next time, join Pastor Ray for more from our studies in Mark. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.